very good. Oh, he's tremendous. I rate him very highly.
He's an enigma. Way out there on his own. Really, the sort of...
Lovely, lovely. Yes, very nice.
Very good. Never heard of him. Have I?
I like his costume.
Oh, very good. I think he's wonderful. I think he's such a charming young man. He dresses so well and everything. I think he's really beautiful, Barry. He's well-dressed, he's clean. Well, sometimes, anyway.
I think the people of this country are sick and tired and fed up to the back teeth of having these so-called pop singers shoved down their throats.
This week sees the release of Barry Good's new album, Change of Life, a 58-record set. This album, which describes his new way of life as a very, very rich tax exile, but also looks back over the thoughts and events of a lifetime, is already confidently expected to be a great milestone in pop history. We take this opportunity to look back over the career of the man once described as the Pope of Pop, the Barry Good story. Few people would have foreseen what a treasure house was in store at the first appearance in August 1963 of Barry Good and the Do-Gooders. The track was called Summer.
Hey! Summertime comes back again, time to be rude. Out on the special beaches, kids are in the nude. They don't care about tradition, the old cans and cans. They take off the old school tie. They take off their pants for... Oh, 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 summer. Oh, 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 the sun is out. Oh, 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 summer. Oh, 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 time to horse about. All the girls will dig me now. They'll get that summer feeling. All the chicks will say wow, wow, because my back's all peeling. And it's oh, 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 summer.
Garbage you may say, and garbage they did say. That weekly music press chose to pick out this new young weakling for crucifixion.
I hope this man gets crucified soon.
New Musical Express.
Listening to this new record by Barry Good and the Do-Gooders, two words spring to mind. Jesus Christ.
Melody Maker.
Summer is the sort of record that gives weather a bad name.
Billboard. Such biblical references, however, did little to dampen the fiery squib of the then young Barry. And not too far away, beneath a Morris Minor in a small car repair shop in Putney, there was a man who heard Summer and believed. His future manager and mentor, Bill Reid.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, I knew the record was dreadful, you know, but, I mean, there was something there, you know, that certain je ne sais pas. Now, I don't know what it was, but I just knew there was something there. So I got in touch, and first I told him, get rid of that band. And he said, no, they're my friends. And I said, look, do you want me to push your ugly face back? And he said, not really, thanks. I think I'll be better off without that band, you know. So I said, right, clever boy. So we disposed of them, and from then on it was plain sailing.
Barry also remembers.
Barry, when you sacked the band in that year...
Oh, yeah.
Well, presumably after that it was plain sailing for you, was it?
Well, it was, yeah. Yeah, it was plain sailing from then on.
The move was harsh. The whole band was dropped in one fell swoop, with the exception of lyricist and lead guitarist Bobby Carlyle. But Barry claims it was all very amicably affected.
Was it, an amicable parting?
Amicable. Yeah, it was.
We spoke to the band and found them not so sure.
Did success spoil him?
Yeah.
Did success spoil him?
No.
Ah.
Once a jerk, always a jerk.
Did success spoil Barry Good?
Yeah, I knew Barry Good. I used to be in his band.
But did success spoil him?
Who, Barry?
Yes.
Yeah, I knew Barry Good, for Christ's sake. I used to be in his band. I used to be in Barry Good's band.
Oh,
but Barry Good's band was no more. Bobby Carlyle agreed to have his name left out of the new band's title, so the duo became known as Barry Good. With sharpened scalpels, the critics sat awaiting his new release. But, sedentary as they were, it caught them below the belt.
The last record I brought out, you critics slammed it. like Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You people damned it. Well, you're entitled to your opinions as far as they go. But before you speak again, there's something you should know. Life ain't easy for a pianist without a hand. Life ain't easy when your legs refuse to stand like mine. Life ain't easy when you've just got 1 year to live. Even so, I gave you all I could give. Sha-la-la, la-la-la, 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 la-la-la.
The record was an overnight sensation and rocketed to the top of the charts. Barry suddenly found himself stood at the forefront of the popular heroes, and criticism of him moved towards incoherency.
Do you like Barry Good?
Ah, Barry.
Madam, how do you feel about Barry Good?
But Barry, like so many artists, did not rest easy in his newfound fame. The band lineup was still not exactly what he wanted.
You then fired more and more members of the band, didn't you, Barry?
Yeah, I did. Finally, I felt I had to fire Bobby.
Why, Barry?
Well, I don't want to be unkind, but the fact is that the older we got, the more I realised how stupid Bobby, in fact, was.
Hmm.
He was a very stupid person, and I think on reflection that this could be sensed in some of our early numbers.
Your final song with Bobby as lyricist was, in fact, called Stupidity.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. It was a sort of a tribute to Bobby, really.
How do you think... excuse me. How do you think Bobby took the split?
Oh, I think he took it very well. Very well. He never mentioned them, but I felt sure he did have other plans up his sleeve all the time that he was eager to get on with.
You were, of course, one of the pallbearers at the funeral.
Yeah, that's right. It was a great honour, and it was great to see the big knobs turning up to pay their respects.
It was indeed the start of a whole new era for Barry. The teenage idol turned into the adolescent Aristotle. His new album was called simply Cole.
Yeah, I was on a sort of a Cole trip in 68. It was funny because I was sort of in love with it. You know, you looked at it and it was so shiny and black and filthy and useful.
Yeah.
You know, it was that whole scene, that whole usage syndrome that really got me.
It's great. And the album cover concept was pretty innovative for the time, wasn't it, Barry?
Black, yeah. Completely black. The record as well, though I think that had been done before.
But 1968 and its universal influence did not entirely slip through the then thinking about Cole Barry's fingers. He took time off from the making of the Double Black album to visit San Francisco and returned home with the inspiration for one of his greatest successes. His blotting paper mind had completely soaked up the power of flowers. The track, Garden.
I had a lot of flowers in my hand, but all my flowers were dying up there. So I filled up my hair with earth, so there's no dearth of flowers in my hair. Now I've got a lot of worms in my hair. I hope the worms are happy in there. I ain't never going to wash out that earth, so there'll never be a dearth of worms in my hair. I want my hair to be a garden where all the animals can live. And when it's dry, the earth will harden. So I'll have to have a shower to give the flower the right to live happy there, in the garden of my hair.
Barry's career was forever assuming a new direction. Amongst his ever-growing following of fans was movie maker Ken Russell.
Ken had heard Garden and wrote a letter to me saying it was the finest piece of short music he'd heard since Schubert's Lieder. And he said he very much wanted to meet the man responsible.
Yes.
Well, at first I thought nothing of it, since Ken's got this reputation of being a complete nutter. But then one day I had nothing to do around tea time, so I thought, why not have a laugh and get in touch with Ken?
Mm.
So I had a quick laugh and then rang up Ken, and within 3 hours we'd started filming The Life of William Gladstone, with myself as Will Gladstone himself.
Now, the film was called Gladioli. Any particular reason?
Well, it was a pack of lies, so it seemed quite suitable.
We join the film soundtrack at the point where Gladstone is running naked through Epping Forest with an axe in his head, trying to decide whether or not to ask Parnell to resign his position as head of the Irish Members of Parliament.
Oh, my God! How could you, Parnell? How could you let me down?
Down! Down! Take his trousers down!
William Gladstone, what happened?
Bring forth your dead!
Ah, these Irish, they will drive me mad! Oh, God, shall I make him resign?
Where's your wife, Gladstone?
She's in bed with Sibelius.
William, where's your son?
He's wrestling naked with Tchaikovsky.
Tchaikovsky's mad, aren't we, Hitler?
Yes, I'm mad. Ooh, but so's Beethoven. He's also mad.
What will people think of me if I let Parnell stay? I'll be risking my neck.
My neck's for the noose and bodies for the rack.
Gladstone, why are you so ugly? Is it because your mother was ugly?
Or is it because you borrowed your face from a chimpanzee?
Ah, but if Parnell is made to leave, who'll take over?
Sleeping with Coleridge, and they're both mad.
Read all about it! Read all about it! Gladstone marries chimpanzee!
Read all about it! Gladstone marries Jack the Ripper!
William Gladstone, why did you kill Peter Townsend? William Gladstone, why are you mad?
Help!
Darling, William, wake up. What's wrong?
Oh, Dotty, thank God it's you. I had the most terrible dream.
Oh, darling, what was it?
I dreamt I was going to leave here. That I was going to go, Dotty.
You'll never go, Dotty, darling. I'll always be with you.
Don't ever go, Dotty.
No, I won't go, Dotty.
Oh, thank God. God, how I love you. Oh, how I love you. Without you, Dotty, there would never have been the Third Amendment to the Irish Home Rule Bill.
The film was a big failure, and Good's performance was universally pilloried.
A travesty, The Times.
A travesty, The Telegraph.
A gross travert, The Guardian.
Didn't the failure discourage you, Barry?
No. Yes. Well, no, it was a great milestone in my career, because it opened my eyes to classical music.
Yes, and your next record certainly took the public by surprise.
Yeah, Funky Nocturne.
That's right, Funky Nocturne.
Classic. Funky Nocturne was a turning point in Barry's career. He turned backwards. For a period of a year and a half, his obsession with classical music led to a string of misses, with such tracks as Lasagna Verdi, Boogie Bach, and poking about with Prokofiev. The records did not take long to produce, sometimes 10, sometimes 15 minutes. In his spare time, Good turned back to movies. Ken Russell offered him the part of Debussy in his remake of The Winslow Boy, but Good turned it down for a part in the filming of the classic story of life in the English countryside, The Haytime of My Youth.
Why did you accept the part, Barry?
I took it because it was English. It was pure English, like Twiggy and Ronald Biggs. It was a story that had to be told.
The film was financed by All American Enterprises with co-stars Ryan O'Neill and the then unknown Henry Winkler. The director chosen was the then funny Spurt Gordon, famous New York stand-up comedian. Spurt speaks of it.
Yeah, The Haytime of My Youth was a hell of a story. Set on East Anglia, it set out to show Barry as the young farmer's boy trying to come to terms with his own ego. It was a pretty corny story, not a grain of truth in it, you know. The television had plans turned into a serial, but a man with a combine harvester stuck on his head, but it never came off. He had a lot going for him. I used to go to the bank for him. My wife went for him with an axe. I wouldn't say my wife's ugly, but we got a home improvement grant just block her away in the loft. Yeah, haven't been in my loft, have you? Got a lot of old mashers up there. They used to keep me after school, so I kept them after school. Yeah, you haven't been in my school, have you? Say no. Well, I wouldn't say my school was smelly, but
So Barry's career was having its ups and downs, not to the surprise of his father, who had always had doubts about the value of his son's chosen career.
I think he would have been better off shooting himself.
He is now a very rich and famous man.
He's also a complete fool. I've seen more inspiration in a cowpat.
Many people regard him as one of our greatest rock musicians.
Yes, he seems to have a strong following in the congenitally unhinged sector of the record-buying public. Personally, I've heard pleasanter things in a slaughterhouse.
Have you really heard him sing?
I've never heard him sing, no.
What would you rather he was doing?
I don't know. I can't imagine anyone trusting him with a job. I wouldn't trust him to sit the right way in a lavatory.
But Barry has always been philosophical about his successes and failures. In his trying to carve a career out of the rock industry, he realizes his chisel has been frequently blunted.
Barry, you would agree that in your attempts to carve a career for yourself, the chisel has been frequently blunted.
Yeah, but this is the business. In particular, it's rock music.
Were the Beatles a strong influence?
Well, yeah, the Beatles. But the Beatles were, well, you know, everything, really.
Yes.
Gods, in a way. And, you know...
Yes, go on.
Well, it's just that... Well, I was in a hardware shop in Hampstead about 3 years ago. I was looking for a bath plug. I don't know what for. And this little red Mini pulls up and Paul gets out and walks straight into the shop and asks for some pan cleaners.
Oh, yes.
I don't know why. And the chap, the man, says, I haven't got any. So he goes out of the shop. And as he passed me, he looked deep into my eyes and he said, well, I'd better try somewhere else then. Story of his life, really. Story of all our lives. I can't help thinking why, you know, why? Why didn't that man have those pan cleaners? Paul could have been composing a classic song to bring joy into the hearts of millions, and instead he was looking out for kitchen utensils. I mean, it's horrific, really. It makes you want to be sick, a waste. It's like Hiroshima.
But as for Barry himself, waste of talent is something he can never be accused of. Apart from his own records, he has made many numerous guest appearances on the records of others, always adding his own peculiar brand of egoism, as in his classic session drumming in 73 on Jim Grover IV's song, I Think It Is the Latter. The old-time country and western singer's comeback single after his fourth heart attack turned into another of Good's vehicles.
Oh, is it me? Or is it you? And does it really matter? Oh, is it hate or is it love? I really think it is the latter. The thing about the way we lived was how we worked it out. Strife and life were rhyming words of that there was no doubt. But soon the time had come to say goodbye to all we knew. She may have added the spice to life, but I think I made the stew. Oh, is it me? Is it me? Or is it you? Or is it you? And does it really matter? Oh, is it hate?
Or is it hate?
Or is it love?
Is it love?
I really think it is the latter. To stay with me, she said she'd climb to the top of the Eiffel Tower. She only had the one leg, though, so I never did allow her. It's just not cricket, she used to say. You men, you're all the same. But you know, I provided all the balls. It's just she never played the game. Oh, is it me?
Well, is it you?
Or is it you?
How are you?
And does it really matter? Oh, is it hate? Or is it love? I really think it is the latter.
It was in 1974 that Barry left England and settled in the Bahamas.
The inevitable tax problems?
Well, yes and no. But the people who talk money in the music business, I don't really rate them, you know. It's so, you know, who's to say?
Yes.
It's very difficult. You know, all I can say is that money has made me richer. I mean, the pundits are always screaming, you know, a third of the world is starving. But I get hungry, you know. I'm hungry now. Are you hungry?
Yes, I'm a little.
So, having money doesn't mean you don't get hungry. I mean, money isn't everything. It's fulfillment and love and friendship that really matter. I mean, if these people who are starving could only grasp that, maybe they'd stop bellyaching and start living full and meaningful lives.
Barry's private life has always been something of a mystery. We spoke to Miss Terry Fielding, a girl whose name has often been featured next to his in the pages of the popular press.
Miss Fielding, you knew Barry in his younger days, is that right?
Actually, I'd prefer not to talk about it.
Did you know him well?
I'd prefer not to talk about this. He meant so much to me, and yet... No, please don't ask me any more questions.
Just how close were you?
Please, no more.
Would you actually say that you were, let's say, intimates?
Oh, my God. Please don't ask me about him.
Even lovers?
Stop! Stop, you wicked man!
You both shared a house for 20 months. Any comment?
Help!
If yes, what was it like? If no, why not?
Oh!
Another person we spoke to about the private Barry was his old school friend and early competitor, George Hudd.
George, how do you feel about Barry Good?
Well, he's good. But, you know, ask him to fix someone's teeth and what would happen? Disaster. Yes, he can play music, of course, no one's denying that. But, you know, ask him to perform a vasectomy and what would he get? I'll tell you what you get. A bloody mess, that's what you get. I mean, he's not a qualified surgeon, is he? Is he? I mean, he's not a priest. He's not an accountant, is he? I mean, he's not a zoologist or an expert in bacterial sciences. I mean, is he? Is he? You know, I mean, what's all the fuss about? That's what I'd like to know. He can't speak Swahili. He's not an expert in jungle warfare or faith healing. I mean, is he?
Well, no, he's not.
He's not. That's what I'm saying, you see. He's not the managing director of Marks and Sparks. He didn't do the set designs for Peter Brook's Midsummer Night's Dream. I mean, did he? Oh, no, he did not. He's not an Olympic gymnast, is he? Is he? No. So, you know, so what about him? So bloody what?
Barry Good is not many things. But his talent, sheer dynamism of thought, and his compassion for all things will forever be remembered as reasonably worthwhile qualities. After 15 albums, Barry Good has now realized what may be his definitive work, Change of Life.
The others have all just been LPs. Change of Life is my first long-playing record.
The album set has, he says, restated his whole philosophy about things. It includes many tracks which already seem certain to be imprinted on the highway of pop classics, others which will be remembered for never having quite got off the slip road, and others which are instrumentals. But one track which is already assured of its place in pop history is Barry's new live version of his song, Despair, which took him to the top of the charts and the core of people's hearts in 1970. A whole generation has felt its sorrow reflected in this song.
I hope my music will be remembered as good music, not because it was good, but because it was
by good. And perhaps, who knows, that makes it good. I mean, quite frankly, who's to say?
Thank you very much. You've been very kind. We'd like to finish with this last one. It's one you might remember.
Strawberry jam, does that mean I'm a bun? I don't know, my friends, do you?
Here we have my brother Goose. Here we have my brother Goose. Here we have my brother Goose. Here we have my brother Goose.
Don't know where I'm going, I don't know where I've been. A mess, my sides are fat, my beer belly's obscene. My songs are full of meaning, I just don't know what they mean. I ask my friends who I am, they say,
we just could not give a damn. We just could not give a damn. We just could not give a damn. We just could not give a damn.
Somebody help me, I need some aid. Somebody love me, it's years since I've been laid. Someone wants me, I need a hand to hold. Someone do something, can you hear? I'm getting old. I tell my friends I'm in despair. They say,
no, 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 we don't care. No, 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 we don't care.
What my friends say, they say, imagine what my enemies are thinking. What about all the presents I've brought you, all those songs I wrote, that I've saved? Think how much time have you used my telephone? I gave you everything I had. What I didn't have, you bought on my Barclay card. I've even shared baths with some of you lot. Oh, who gives a shit, then? I've enjoyed tonight. I should think you have too. You were bloody good. Right? Right. Good night, and thanks for your money.
I really must get some of his albums. The Atkinson People featured Rowan Atkinson, Hugh Thomas, Peter Wilson and Sue Aldred. It was written by Richard Curtis and produced by Griff Rhys-Jones.